Chapter 4, Everyone Wins or I Won't Play. Some outsiders are under the impression the only way to make money in real estate is to take advantage of people. They picture all of us investors literally stealing houses and putting old ladies out on the street, or they perceive us as tyrannical landlords wearing big black hats, operating slum properties unfit for human habitation. Such perceptions are not just erroneous, they demonstrate total ignorance. In all the years I've been an investor buying more than 3,000 houses, not once have I ever put a gun to a seller's head and said, sign or die. In fact, many times I found myself hoping the seller wouldn't sign or wouldn't work with me because I didn't like the looks of the deal. But I went ahead and bought anyway to get the seller out of the jam. That's not what I suggest you do. It's better to just walk. Many people don't understand the valuable, serious real estate entrepreneurs perform for the public. Of course, I wouldn't buy a house if I couldn't make a profit from it, but in many cases, I could have walked away and been happier than if I had bought. However, the seller's needs pushed me to take on a project or so that may or may not have been in my best interest. In looking at the real estate business, several elements must be considered. First, the business is more than money. Money is only the byproduct of a specialized activity that provides one of life's necessity, shelter. Think about the last sad story you heard about a family home lost to foreclosure. Maybe you yourself have been through hard times and lost your house to a bank. How would you have felt about an investor providing you with a solution when no one else would? I can tell you from experience, few things in life are more humiliating and stressful than having lenders haunting you and bugging you constantly trying to get you to make a payment you can't afford. Going through that process destroys self-esteem, it breaks up marriages, can even cause health problems or worse. I once bought a house whose owner, the father of three children, had committed suicide under the stress of pending foreclosure. That experience gave me a new outlook on life. At the same time, I was buying the widow's house at 8 o'clock one Saturday morning and trying to help her stop crying when I decided my measly little old problems didn't amount to a hill of beans compared to hers. She had three kids, but she had no income, no job, no food, and now no husband. All of a sudden, I switched from the mindset of how cheaply can I get this house to how much can I afford to give this lady. She owed $26,000 on a $50,000 house. Remember, that was in the early 80s. And her monthly payment was $280. She was 4 months behind on her payments, and the house needed about $2,000 in repairs. And she told me, if I would give her $1,000 and make up her payments, she would deed me the house. Now, I'm no angel, and I'm usually pretty reluctant to give up a buck unless it's absolutely necessary, but that day was an exception. I reached in my wallet and handed her $500 in cash. Then I told her once I'd checked her title and she was out of the house, I'd give her an additional $3,500. That's $3,000 more than she was expecting. Needless to say, she was elated and I'd won a friend for life. But who really gets the best bargain? Yes, I made money on the house and could have made $3,000 more, but the most important result of the deal, I was on a high for weeks afterward. Here I'm still talking about it 30-some-odd years later. And I learned a lesson that will stick with me for life. You can't help someone up a hill without getting closer to the top yourself. Remembering that experience still gives me goosebumps. And I'm sure as your career progresses, you'll have opportunity to help a similar family solve its problems. Saving houses from the wrecking ball. In addition to the human element, of course, there's always the matter of houses themselves. Think of all the houses that are rehabbed by investors every single week. And if investors don't buy them, who will? What'll happen to them? The answer is they'll get bulldozed. Or they just sit there until they're boarded up and condemned and then fall down on their own. True, every once in a while an owner-occupant buys a property to fix it up and occupy it, but for every one of those, at least 100 get rehabbed for profit by people like us. We're providing a service to our community by improving the look of the neighborhood, as well as by increasing the stock of houses and the community's tax base. That, in turn, generates more revenue for the city. In addition, rehabbing requires contractors and laborers who benefit from the work. All rehabs require more materials, which are supplied by vendors who buy from manufacturers, all businesses that create jobs and employ people. And the process generates fees for professionals such as surveyors and realtors and appraisers and termite inspectors and closing agents and title clerks and attorneys and so on. Stop the rehabbing in houses and all those people who would suffer directly or indirectly, many couldn't exist. So yes, people who buy and fix houses are certainly performing a public service. Sharing the wealth. Well, let's look at aspects of real estate investing that have nothing to do with the rehabbing process itself. Have you ever known people who have had to make two house payments simultaneously because they purchased a new home before the old was sold? Who besides an investor is going to offer debt relief when the house doesn't sell? Real estate brokers? Hardly. Realtors attempt to sell houses at little or no risk to themselves, making a seller's payments while trying to sell a house 6 months is not in their purview of services. Could a seller rent the house to a tenant? Possibly. More often than not, all the seller would wind up with is an expensive lesson in landlording and a bigger problem. Renting the house could also make it extremely difficult to sell. It would rarely be clean, and getting access to it would be complicated. Of course, the tenant would not be cooperating with the seller if it meant that they would have to move if the house was sold. So we investors step in and take over the payments and repairs, and we usually get the house sold in time. The seller's problem is solved, and we've provided a valuable service. Believe it or not, while we're working to help sellers by saving them from the foreclosure machinery of the big bad banks, we're also performing a service for those banks. And that service, too, trickles down to a wider public. If investors didn't buy houses out of foreclosure or afterwards, who would? If the only market were owner-occupants, you would see a drastic decline in housing prices. Moreover, the conditions for getting a loan would be terribly stringent. Those factors who would slow demand drastically and all related businesses would suffer, many of them evaporating. Yet another very important group of people benefit from the investors' work in real estate. What about all those owner-occupants who wouldn't have a home of their own without us? I have sold hundreds of houses to first and last-time home buyers. Many of them needed help solving minor problems and overcoming hurdles. I can honestly say some would never have been able to buy had I not made it possible. In fact, I'd venture to say most. Sometimes I helped them get financing. Sometimes I was the bank and owner finance for them. Without my being the bank and allowing them to bypass rigorous qualifying procedures, most of these people would still be renters today. Usually investors are the only answer. Financing, it might be the only game in town. Think about all the lease option tenant buyers that I put in houses to give them time to fix whatever might be broke, whether it be credit, debt ratio, or whatever they need done. They act like owners. They live in the house. They treat it like their own. They feel like a homeowner all the time that it takes for them to get that done and go qualify for a loan. Without us, owner financing would be almost non-existent. So are we providing a public service by understanding creative financing? You bet. We're providing a service that's extremely important to those families who wouldn't own a home any other way, incidentally, if it weren't for investors, who would own real property and where would all the tenants live? True. As you become more and more involved with real estate investing, you may get the feeling you're not always appreciated. Sometimes we get a lot of flack from government employees, real estate professionals, and other people who don't understand the business. But rest assured, investors will be around as long as people need places to live. There's plenty of business to go around, and investors can make money without making anyone suffer. If any deal is not win-win, just don't do it. Move on. You can't help someone up a hill without getting closer to the top yourself.